Welcome to Cash Considerations, the podcast that takes you behind the Las Vegas sportsbook from the guys that actually work behind it, with your hosts, Alan Berg, Dave Sharapan, and Matoy Pearson. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Cash Considerations. With a new football season underway, we're going to do it big for you guys. We're going to do the big three with a couple guests. And at the end, you'll get Mo and my takes on what we like. Mo, of course, our college football guy, and I'll give you my NFL plays. Week one's a tough one, but we're going to try to cash some tickets. So stay with us. We got two guests coming up right now. Gentlemen, I promised you a guest, and not only do I have a guest, I have two guests this week. And joining me now is my main man, Matt Lindemann, now part of the Caesars family as well. How you doing, my man?
I'm good, Bergman. How you doing?
Oh, it's good, man. It's good to have you back. I keep loving to bust your chops at work. It's good times, like the old days.
Oh, yeah. It's great to get in there right before football starts and get some of this going. So,
for sure. Yeah, I mean, I just want to say Matt is, to me, one of the sharpest guys out there as far as what I see from both sides of the counter. So he's a great resource for the podcast. Great addition to Caesars. They couldn't have hit a home run better with this guy. But we brought Matt in. Definitely check him out on Twitter at Lindy Train, L-I-N-D-E, Train. And pretty popular on there, a lot of nonsense. He loves to talk, so definitely check him out. But we brought him in today. We're doing some big three like we did last year, and I'm kind of mixing it up a little bit. Since Mo's the big college football guy and I'm an NFL guy, we brought in Matt as yet another college football guy. So Matt, go ahead and tell us, you know, a little bit if you want, and then you can jump into your first play that you really like this week.
Yeah, so, you know, usually weeks like 2 through 5 are pretty big for me. These are kind of my favorite weeks of the year as far as betting is concerned. So I got a ton of action this week. I kind of tried to narrow it down. I didn't put anything in here, you know, with lines that are gone now. So I tried to find some numbers that are market right now. So
perfect. Yeah,
I got three ready for you. I don't know if you want me to give you a big long spiel or if you want me to break it up or what do you want to do?
Yeah, let's go one game at a time and just kind of, you know, give us an overall reason as to why you like this and why it's the right side this week.
All right. Well, the first game I got here, and I'd say this is probably my favorite bet of the week so far. This is something I grabbed a little bit earlier in the week at 3.5, but I still like it at 3. That's Cal plus 3 at BYU. This is a game I actually made one the other way. I had Cal the favorite here, and before the season I had Cal minus 3, so I think this is a little bit of an overreaction to what we saw last week from BYU against Arizona. They went into that game, really surprising upset there, but I think they had some things in their favor. Arizona with a new coach, new scheme, new offensive line. They literally had 5 new starters on the offensive line. So a lot of things kind of working against Arizona that helped BYU there. And if you remember, you know, Arizona kind of looked like they were in control of that game going into halftime, and then BYU kind of came out and dominated the second half. So I want to kind of see if they can carry that momentum in against what's going to be a much stiffer test this week against the Cal defense. Cal defense looked awesome against North Carolina last week. They gave up 1.4 yards per play in the first half. And the only time North Carolina really started to move the ball was in the second half once the game was kind of out of reach. So I'm aware the Cal offense struggled in that game, but I think when you're in a situation where you're up 14, you're up 17, you don't really need to be aggressive offensively. You're letting your defense control the game. I think Cal didn't really open it up. So I think we'll see a better effort from them. I don't know if BYU can match the intensity last week, even though they have a Pac-12 team coming in. I want to see if they can handle a better defense here. So this is one I like the points, and I think Cal probably ends up closing around a pick.
Right on. That's great. Fantastic breakdown, man. Love the 1.4 yards per play. That sounds like the D was really letting them have it.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of this Wilcox guy. I think if you ask Mo, he'll say the same thing. And this is year two for him at Cal, so – you know, BYU's coming off that really bad year last year, and, you know, everyone I think expected them to be improved, but I don't know if they're quite as good as what we saw last week. So I think Cal takes another step forward this year. That's a team that I've kind of identified as someone I want to bet on. So I think that they go out and find a way to get this done this week.
Right on. All right. And then go ahead with selection number 2, man.
All right. Now this one is probably going to be a little chalky, maybe a little popular. I know some people aren't going to like this as much because it sounds square or whatever, but I don't really care. I'm not concerned with that stuff. I like Michigan State -6 at Arizona State on Saturday. Really interesting matchup. Should be a good one. You know, there are a lot of question marks, I think, about Arizona State coming into this season. You know, Herm taking over. They got new coordinators coming in. Lost a couple key running backs and some key guys on defense. So wasn't really sure what to expect out of them. And they played UTSA, which I actually thought was the perfect opponent for them in week one. UTSA is a big fade for me. That's a team I'm not high on. They lost a bunch on offense and one of their key guys on D. So they're just – I think they're going to really struggle this year. So they made Arizona State look pretty good in that first game. But I still think there are a lot of question marks here. I'm not sure if the front seven's as good as they looked in that game. They actually had 9 sacks in that game, which is pretty impressive. But I just don't know if they're really that good. And on the other side, I look at Michigan State. They're coming off a pretty sloppy effort against Utah State. And, you know, I think there's some cause for concern considering they were such a big favorite and only won by 7. But Utah State, actually a pretty good team. They finished last year really strong. So I think, you know, they kind of just slept on Utah State in that spot and kind of were surprised. So I think this secondary, even though they lost a key guy a couple weeks ago, could potentially match up with this really good Arizona State wide receiving core. And, you know, hopefully keep the ball in front of them. That's something they did last week against Utah State. They didn't let them beat them deep, and that's something Arizona State's going to try to do. So I think Michigan State matches up well. I think we get a lot better effort from them, and I don't think Arizona State's quite as good as what we saw last week.
Right on, man. Do you think in general, you know, you mentioned how you like these early weeks. Is it a lot have to do with the fact that you think there's just a lot of over-adjusting of lines going on?
Yeah, you know, I think you can find a lot of value in identifying the teams that you like and don't like before the season and kind of keeping an eye on how their early games go and if maybe the score is a bit deceiving, if maybe the box score doesn't say something or show something, you know, kind of digging and trying to find those things like, hey, you know, yeah, the Cal offense looked bad, but, you know, they were up 17-0, so they didn't need to look good. You know, finding those things and reasons why something might have happened, I think that's what you try to do early. And if you have a really solid opinion in the preseason about these teams, you can find some good spots for them early on.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that especially with college coaches and knowing they have a long season ahead, I mean, why risk anything too crazy early on in the season when you're up, you know, 17-0, you don't need to, you know, push the ball downfield or take some shots into coverage and things like that. So totally makes sense to me. All right, my man. So we got one pick left for your initial big three for college football, bro.
All right. Well, this one's a little less interesting, but I got I got NC State laying 24.5 against Georgia State at home. This is one that I haven't actually played yet. I'm kind of holding out, hoping maybe someone will drop to 24 and hoping to lay that. But now I don't have a huge line value here. I only made this game 27, but I think this is a really favorable matchup for NC State. I think the line's probably going to creep up close to, you know, 27, 28. Mm. Looking at this Georgia State team, they had to play city rival Kennesaw State last week. I think campuses are about 45 minutes apart in Atlanta. And they had a really battle in that game. They had to rally from, I think, 7 down in the fourth quarter to come back and win that and avoid their second straight loss to an FCS school. So coming off a really tough game there, they played a JUCO quarterback who's never played in Division I. He actually played pretty well, but, you know, the run game struggled. Their defense wasn't that great. Secondary gave up a lot of big plays. So not really an impressive showing from them against an FCS team. And then looking at NC State, they played James Madison last week, who was the FCS runner-up last year. And, you know, they didn't blow them out. I think they won 28-13, 28-17, something like that. But, you know, they moved the ball pretty well. They just kind of struggled to find the end zone in the end. And they were actually facing a Pitt quarterback, a former Pitt quarterback, Ben DiNucci, who, you know, is kind of familiar with that spotlight, wasn't uncomfortable going in on the road against NC State and playing. So they're going from him to a young quarterback in the Sun Belt. So I think it's going to be really tough for Georgia State. And just looking at each team, the strengths for NC State are this passing offense and their wide receivers. And they're facing a Georgia State secondary that's just not very good. So I don't think Georgia State's going to be able to do much offensively. I think NC State's going to have their way offensively and do whatever they want. I think it's going to get pretty ugly. I played a little bit of over early in the week too, but that number's kind of gone now. So I'm just saying lay the points here. I think NC State rolls.
You think first half as well with maybe some tired legs in the underdog here?
Yeah, I think you could possibly say since NC State's not really that great at running the ball, you know, they're more, you know, pass oriented, that if they get ahead in the first half, they're going to sit on the ball and try to run the ball, and Georgia State might have more success there. So, yeah, I think you could definitely make a case for first half here just based on, you know, kind of what NC State's game plan is going to be and what Georgia State will be able to do.
Very nice, my man. Well, before I let you go, is there anything you'd like to bring up to talk about just the city in general, or maybe some tips for the guys listening to have a better football season this year?
You know, I think just be smart. You know, early, everybody wants to go crazy. They feel like they want to have action on every game, and it's just, you know, I know a million people.
Shout out to Mo.
Yeah, right. I know a million people say this, and it's somewhat hypocritical of me because I'm playing so much this week, I guess. But just, you know, you don't have to play every game. You don't have to play tonight's, you know, Thursday night game or the Monday night. You know, just be smart with your money. And I think another thing is don't get caught up in what other people are betting. You know, handicap the game yourself. Do your own work and figure out what you like. Because in my opinion, there's nothing worse than losing money on something that you have no opinion on. So, I mean, that's my advice for everyone. And, you know, hopefully everybody makes some money this year.
That's awesome, man. Perfect. And again, great to have you aboard, man. Thanks for coming on the cast, and I look forward to working with you as we go down the road, bro.
Yeah, definitely, man. I appreciate you having me. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks, Matt. And we'll be right back, and I'll talk to Kyle Wilson. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I promised you some special guests this week for our first week of the NFL, and I got my main man, Kyle Wilson, here with us. Also now a part of the Caesars family, which is pretty sweet. What's going on, Kyle?
Not much, man. Just finishing up a 10-hour shift, so now it's time to hop on the podcast.
Beautiful, man. Well, I know we got great feedback from your stuff from last year. You know, that big Eagles ticket that everybody keeps talking about that you cashed. Check him out. What's the handle for Twitter to see the old photo of you at the bowl?
Oh, Kyle Wilson _NFL.
There you go, man. Kyle Wilson. So we're kind of, you know, we're sticking to our formula that we used last year that was real popular. We call it the Big Three, Kyle. And what we're looking for is what three games really stand out to you that you might be taking and can give a little advice out there to the people as far as, you know, where the lines are and what might still be available.
Sure. Starting off with game one, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. Currently, the Steelers are anywhere from 3.5 to 4-point favorites. Totals at 44.5. The line opened at 7 and 7.5. Steelers favored. Now that the line has dropped, some pros took Cleveland at +7 and +7.5. After the Le'Veon Bell news that he's more than likely out for Sunday, the line reacted and went even further down than it was. It was around 5. And, you know, I just don't think the line moves warranted. You know, you can get the Steelers at a couple of shops at 3.5, and I think that's a great bet. The Cleveland Browns, their offensive line, they still don't even know who's going to start on Sunday.
Hugh Jackson, baby.
Yeah, they have the Hugh Jackson factor. You know, the Steelers have one of the best pass rushes in the NFL, and that just is not going to bode well on Sunday.
It's funny that that was the first game you're coming out with, because I literally, when I have my little factors that I make my own NFL numbers, and I literally in one of my columns have the Hugh Jackson factor. Literally built, you know, I'm not going to say how much, but I built some points into my lines for Hugh Jackson.
Oh, definitely. You have to, whatever line you come up with, you definitely have to shade at least a couple of points.
It's probably not big enough, honestly.
Yeah. You can't make a Hugh factor too big, or big enough.
Yeah, exactly. The Hugh factor. I love it. So I was talking to you a little bit off air. Another one that you're kind of looking at is the Kansas City Chiefs and the LA Chargers. I mean, the Chargers, they still don't even have a home yet. I mean, does anyone care out there in Carson?
I mean, they're fans and everything. You know, they don't have a huge fan base, obviously, in L.A., but, you know, we're coming in year two. They should have gotten used to that. Year one, didn't really factor that in a whole lot with this game. The Chiefs...
Do you think it's kind of overblown at this point, just because they've already been there a year? You think there's actually people who might care a little bit this year, kind of a thing, now that the newness is worn off?
Sure. I mean, that, and, you know, you just don't factor in home field advantage, you know, like you would, obviously, like a home team that, or a team that has a strong home crowd, you know, like
you think it's more like places like Minnesota and then Seattle in the past, where like the home field actually matters, kind of a thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice.
Definitely. But, you know, you're getting Kansas City coming in. I'll go to as far as to say they may be – I'll go with the worst defense in the NFL this year.
Wow.
I do not think they're going to be very good. They're just banged up already. You know, they lost the corner to Peters to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense, they're going to be taking a lot more risk. They're going to be pushing. They're going to be a lot more up-tempo, which their defense is going to have to be on the field more. Eric Berry still having problems after his torn Achilles. He's having heel issues, and he's the anchor of that defense. He's getting older. It's just, and if you watch them in the preseason, you know, they're just not boding well at all. And I think it's just going to be every game that Kansas City plays against a semi-respectable offense, I think is going to be a shootout. It's going to feel like Mahomes is back at Texas Tech is what I think.
Wow, man, that's awesome. Now, I noticed around town you're looking kind of, at least in Vegas, you're looking at 3 minus 20, 3.5. Is there a particular number you'd tell these guys to go get?
I laid 3 flat. I think 320 is fine.
Okay.
I would obviously want 320 over 3.5.
Sure.
Do you think
it's still worth taking at 3.5? I mean, obviously, you know, go get your 3 minus 20 now, but... say if, you know, they aren't in town until Sunday and the line's 3.5. Are you still comfortable with that number, you think?
I'll put it this way. I am one to never tell someone to bet a bad number. I feel pretty confident telling someone to bet 3.5.
As long as it's not the worst number on the board kind
sure.
of thing, right?
Yeah. You know, I'm always the type if the line moves to 3.5, I usually don't bet it and I just pass on it. But I feel like this one's strong enough that you can take 3.5.
Nice. All right, and then I believe your last game that you want to bring up on the big three here is Dallas and Carolina. Kind of an interesting game. I've heard different things about it. Seems like Dallas still has some problems. Jason Garrett probably being problem number one. Carolina, you know, it really depends on Cam, I think, on third down. It just seems that that's been his big crutch. He can't get over the hump when he's first and second down. I mean, he's been lights out.
Sure, and definitely Cam's home road splits are something to really look at as well. He's been dynamite at home. You know, and this year they're going to be passing out of the backfield even more to Christian McCaffrey. The Cowboys ranked 27th overall in passes out of the back, defending passes out of the backfield, so that really bodes well for McCaffrey.
He just pulled that out the brain. I'm sitting here with him. That was crazy.
I looked at it a couple of days ago, actually. This is a game I really like. That's one of the perks to like about Carolina. One of the drawbacks is how much better the Cowboys defense is with Sean Lee in there. Sean Lee will be in there, but I mean, even with him, they just didn't cover passes out of the backfield well. You know, Cam's always Cam is whenever things are going well, he has the most upside at quarterback in the league, in my opinion. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But whenever things are going south, he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. It's just crazy how up and down he can be.
I think he tends to try too hard at times, you know. I think, you know, there's that case. We were both kind of checking out that Warren Sharp football preview, and one thing that stood out to me was the fact that Cam was throwing – a few interceptions on his side of the field when his team either had the lead or the game was tied. And, you know, I think if he just eliminates little things like that, I mean, you could see Carolina really make a run this year.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, going to the other side of the football, Dallas's receiving corps are just it's just absolutely terrible. So Dak has, you know, next to no one to throw the ball to. I expect Carolina to be significantly better on defense this year. They had a lot of young guys in the secondary last year, so they're going to have just another year of experience. You know, the only thing they have going for them is the run game. Their O-line is banged up. That's definitely a flaw for them. But they're always just so one-dimensional running the football, and that's going to be something that Carolina does well this year. And the secondary is going to be able to cover up single coverage on the receivers, and then they're going to be able to really focus on that run. So, you know, the line has moved now, but, you know, the under is something that we did bet, expecting it to be a lower scoring game because we don't expect Dallas to score quite as much.
Right. All right, so Carolina, What's the spread there? Are they kind of looking at 320 again? Or is that, no. It's fallen. No, it's fallen. 2.5, 20.
So, yeah.
I guess that's the move.
Yeah. I personally laid 2.5.
Okay. Did you get flat or was it 20?
I played 2.5 flat.
Nice. You think this is one they could maybe hold off on for Sunday? Do you think the line will drop more with Cowboys being usually a popular betting team? Or will the sharper guys kind of override that, you think?
I would say the sharper guys are going to come in on Carolina pretty soon. So the sooner the better on that one.
Right on. I do see a 2.5 at flat at Coast currently. So there's one you can get if you happen to be in town and hear this. Anyways, thanks.
I now know where I'm going on the way home.
There you go, man. Beautiful. All right. Well, we got so the big three, just to quickly recap, we've got Pittsburgh -3.5.
Carolina -2.5, even lay the juice, even 3 is fine, but would prefer 2.5.
And Chargers -3, -20.
Yes.
Okay. There we go. There's your big three with Kyle Wilson. Anything else you want to chat about before we let you go, Kyle?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and bring up the your beloved Bears and Khalil Mack.
Oh yeah. I'm in way over my head with fandom right now. They haven't had me this excited. I can't even remember, man. Probably back when I was like a toddler.
Oh man. Yeah, dude, they're, you know, even if it's not this year, I mean the future's definitely bright because they're you know, they have Trubisky on a rookie deal, salary wise, so they're able to spend it elsewhere. Get guys like Khalil Mack. I mean, they're going to have a great supporting cast around them. You know, before the Khalil Mack actually was, what, back early summer, it was late spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we took the Bears to win the Super Bowl just on a value perspective, anywhere from 100 to 150 to 1. Then after the news broke, we actually bet it more. Alan and I both had to get down a little bit on the Bears at 100 to 1, and it's one of those things that as the days go by, it just gets better and better.
Oh man, yeah, it was nice to still see that number staring us in the face. So that was a good scoop.
That didn't last too long, did it?
No, it didn't. But hey, everybody, we appreciate it. Definitely check out Kyle Wilson on his Twitter again, @KyleWilson_NFL. And welcome to the family, my man.
Happy to be here. Yeah, happy to be here.
All right. We'll be right back. All right, so we got to hear from our boys, Matt Lindemann and Kyle Wilson, two new members to the Caesars family, which is fantastic. They're two of the best that I know of out there in the world. And now we're back with my man Mo. What's up?
What's going on, Alan? What's the deal, man? We had that big cast earlier, so happy to be here for the big three.
Yeah, man, it was a wild Thursday night game we just kind of got through. Really could have went either way, it seemed like.
Yeah, no, it was exciting for the most part that football was back. But, you know, through that not too illustrious first half, the gas kind of came out for me, so it was all right. I'm happy that football's back.
He was he had the towel out, but he was not exactly waving it. Let's put it that way.
Man.
Well, before we get started into the big stuff, the football, shout out to my girl Naomi Osaka.
Ooh!
Going to her first Grand Slam final. She's gonna give Serena hell. I gave it to my man Mo. He cashed the ticket today, so he was pumped.
Oh yeah, won in straight sets, man. That was more exciting than the Eagles game.
Oh,
I'm gonna
go
out and say right now. So nothing against NFL football, but Osaka is cashing right now, and it's gonna be a big match against Serena tomorrow. So
she's gonna be the next big star. I don't know if she beats Serena tomorrow, but definitely check her out. She's if you've ever liked tennis, she's great to watch. Anyway, let's roll, man. Everybody wants to hear about football. Mo, I'm going to go ahead and start with you, my man. You're going to kick it off this week for us.
Okay.
So as I said, you know, you're our college football guy. So tell us what you like. What's your first game that you really want to have the people look at?
Well, the first game I wanted to go off about right here was Wyoming, which was probably my favorite play of Saturday coming up. I apologize. I've been doing this all week. Missouri, who's an 18-point favorite. Actually steamed up to 19.5 now at 20 to some places. Wyoming's got to travel again, they have to travel all the way to Missouri. I think it's a 4 o'clock start. It's going to be rough for them. The inept offense that they've been bringing with their quarterback Tyler VanderWaal. If they're not picking things up, Missouri's got Drew Locke, Heisman hopeful. They're going to be out there burying, and if Wyoming can't get any points, look for Missouri to be up, big early and then late when they're covering the 18.
Beautiful, man. Anything about the line? I mean, is there a certain point where you're like, maybe stay away? I mean, if it's moving, is there a number that scares you at all in that game, or you just tell them, I kind of missed it, don't bother?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think it opened at 17.5, but I mean, some of the sharper guys took some 18.5 as well.
Okay.
Obviously, they're more or less dead numbers on the way up to where it is now. If you're going to be late to the party and it gets to like a 21, I would probably say, it seems like a lot, especially, three touchdowns no matter where it's at. But I would say anywhere between 18 and 19 even, that's probably a good move. It's, my favorite move, so even if it was 25, I would still play it. Personally, I just wouldn't tell anyone.
That's awesome. All right, so what is up for game number two?
I think it's something that we brought up on our earlier cast, the one that we had this week, and it was South Carolina plus 10.
Right.
So this is, I think, one that we both liked. I think we talked about.
I don't know a damn thing. Oh, yeah, what
okay, for
about.
Sure. My
but,
bad, dog.
But no, I
don't even mean it like that, man. No. So.
South Carolina, I just see like people talking about them that I respect in the college football world, and it seems like they might be coming in a little unranked, or a little not unranked, but underrated.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, this is a big game for them. Obviously, Georgia's, massive. A top five team, and they're right. Incredible. And, they're going to be in a hostile environment. I mean, the Gamecocks came out against Coastal Carolina, and it was unreal. I mean, that was a big game, and a lot of support's going to be there. So it's going to be a tough environment for Georgia, and I think Muschamp probably has his best offense in a while with Bentley and Samuel in the running game that was underrated coming in, but it seems like they'll be able to produce something if they get out early. So this is something that I want people to watch. I think it's going to be probably one of the best games of the week, of top 2, 3, 4 games. But if I could, man, I'm going to go out on a limb and say South Carolina is going to win. So if you can sprinkle some money line with getting that plus 10, even 10.5, if you can get it, that's something that I would, tell people to play if I could.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
All right. Beautiful. All right. And then the final, the grand finale, pick number 3.
I gotta look. Oh, yeah, so I think this is something that me and Lindy have talked about. I've talked about with plenty of people, but this is Cal plus 3.5. Even plus 3 for me, I think, is fine. And they play BYU coming off that humongous win against Arizona on the road. Great for BYU after the season they had, which was just tremendously terrible, to say the least. But, I mean, I like Cal, man. I like the way their coach has got them going. Justin Wilcox for president. I still stand by that. He's just very defensive-minded, and where Cal kind of loses flash with the deep ball, and they're not as good offensively. They gain a lot defensively, and they're smart. They don't turn the ball over. So these are things that I think can help Cal, especially get in points here where BYU looked flashy against an Arizona team that was already highly a little bit overrated with Khalil Tate. People are underrating Cal, so I think grabbing 3 here on the last of my 3 plays would be great to do.
What's great is that you didn't get to hear the Lindy interview, so you guys both have Cal.
Sure we do.
Yeah.
But
that's
of course,
cool, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 2 guys that I highly respect that like Cal, so that probably should be on the shopping list when you go out this weekend.
Man, I hope if it loses by 14, man, then it was Lindy. It's all Lindy.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, all right, so it's time for the big leagues. So Mo, hit the road. No, I'm just playing. Playing. I'm going to move on here to the NFL for my big 3 in the NFL. So let's see. First game I want to talk about, I really like the Broncos, -3 against the Seahawks. I'm actually cool with even 3.5 here. Early on, I mean, the numbers just aren't as strong. You do definitely run the risk of jeopardy when we're talking about, week 1 lines and what kind of teams we're looking at. Because in honesty, we don't really know. We don't know what we're going to see in week 1. But I think that with all of the problems the Seahawks have had, all the turnover on defense, and I'm no big Case Keenum fan, but I just think Denver's D is going to just, you know, wreak havoc on Seattle's offense. And I just expect kind of a low-scoring game, but I could see almost like that Denver-Dallas game from last year where they got after the Cowboys. I see like a similar situation here. I'm cool with laying three and a half. There's still some good minus threes out there, minus 05s, so that'd be the number one that I'd go pick up. Number two on my list might surprise some people. I love the Jets on Monday night, plus 6.5 at Detroit. I don't believe in this Patricia guy. Right. I just don't. He just doesn't strike me as a head coach. He got a head coaching job, and his defense was absolutely horrible in the Super Bowl. I just think he's a lame duck coach. I think the Lions are due for one of those 6-10 seasons. Matthew Stafford's record against teams with a 500 or better win percentage is horrendous. Mm-hmm. Not saying the Jets will necessarily get there, but I think they're a good enough team to where they shouldn't be catching 6.5. And look out for Moe's boy, Sam Darnold.
Sammy D!
Going wild on Monday
Night Football. Dog, he's going to smoke!
Get
it. Oh, man! I'm jinxing it so crazy. No, it's so brutal.
I love it. But I mean, like, I think the Jets, I just think first game, I just see them doing real well here, possibly even an outright winner. And then lastly, I had difficulty narrowing my last pick down, but at the end of the day, I don't do this often. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings minus 6.
Nice.
San Fran to me has a lot of potential, and I just think they're just walking into a week one game where I just see the Vikings gelling really well in week one. They're coming off the NFC Championship loss, bring back a ton of the talent they had, add a more dynamic quarterback in Kirk Cousins. They're just such a great home team that I feel like I think they're just going to give Jimmy Garoppolo hell in the first game. I think the Niners will actually be decent this year, and they're going to be some spots during the year where you'll get great value against them against good teams. This, however, I don't think will be that game. So go ahead and lay 6 with the Vikings. You can get 6.5s as well, but there are a couple 6s left if you can grab it.
Do you think they're a square dog?
I haven't really looked enough yet at the parlay numbers to really feel that out yet. I definitely know there's just some support there from the public and stuff on the Niners, but I don't know.
I just feel like Niners getting 6, like, you know what I mean?
It sounds good.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean? That's my thing. I feel like it sounds better than it really is. And the fact that the line opened 4.5 and it just keeps going.
Right.
Being a number that was off, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. Granted, hopefully y'all got 4.5 and don't even have to bet this game. But, yeah, that's my my third pick. And we'll see how we do this week. Check out our Twitter at Cash Considering, where we'll have a little graphic I'm going to put up later. Probably by at least Saturday, you'll see something with all of us on there. And anything else you want to drop on him, Mo, before we let him go?
No, I mean, I feel like, you know, we've took care of most of it during our early cast. And we're just excited that football is back, man. So
absolutely, man.
Of course.
All right, well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. And we'll catch you next week. Later.